The Athletic.
After overseeing a 27-game unbeaten run, Luis Enrique's PSG fell to defeat at home to Barcelona on Wednesday night.
And there's the full-time whistle blown by Anthony Taylor. It's advantage Barcelona, but nothing more. It's a disappointing night for Luis Enrique, and Xavi will leave here the happier of the two. Quiet night in general for Kylian Mbappe.
So why did Kylian Mbappe struggle to impact the kind of game he's renowned for owning in previous years? Is he at risk of seeing his PSG career end with a whimper? And for Luis Enrique, is he the man to finally push the Parisians over the line to become a serious contender in years to come? I'm Ayo Akinwolare. Welcome to the Athletic FC podcast. With us for this one, we have Pierre-Etienne Minonzio from L'Equipe and The Athletic's PSG writer, who was at the Parc des Princes last night and is currently in the airport, Peter Rutzler. Right, Peter, let's talk about last night, right? 3-2, Barcelona winning at PSG. How big a blow is this for Paris Saint-Germain? Because we know the Champions League is definitely a trophy this team has coveted for quite a while.
In the football sense, in terms of the tie, losing the home leg is a blow. PSG haven't overturned a first leg deficit in the Champions League before. And you could tell, actually, from Luis Enrique's comments after the game that, you know, he wasn't overly pleased with how the game panned out. I think there was a sense that, particularly with Barcelona's goals, they stem from individual mistakes, which were pretty avoidable. But I think, actually, in the context of the game, Barcelona were excellent. The way they set up, the way they shackled Kylian Mbappe, the way they went direct and sort of exposed some of the weaknesses in this early form of Luis Enrique's PSG project. But I think on a wider perception of PSG, of course, this year, all the talk from the club is about, we don't have to win it this year, but it is the trophy that the owners of the club have long sought since their takeover back in 2011. And I think once the draw came out for the quarterfinals and the semifinals, and it just seemed to offer a bit more of a pathway, it avoided some of the heavyweights, that changes it. But rather than pressure, which we've become accustomed to, I know Pierre will talk more about this, but like it was a lot more excitement, a bit more optimism about what might be possible with this team in this new direction, in this new project. So yeah, there's definitely disappointment at losing the home leg. It's going to be difficult going to Barcelona to try and overturn that, but they have the players to do that. And I think we'll have to see whether this performance from Barcelona was an exception to a general rule or the start of something quite impressive for them.
Pierre, I know you weren't at the game, but you are in Paris, and I'm just trying to get a sense of how the Parisians feel about this phase of the Champions League. Is it same old PSG in the Champions League? Thanks for your efforts, but it's not to be. Or is there a feeling or a bit more leniency to the project at hand?
No, I think that's exactly what you said. As Smith song said, it's a same old story. It goes on, and it's always the same old story. You know, I watched a game with my brother-in-law, who is a Parisian ultra, and he cannot manage to get tickets. So he was totally in a fury in the end of the game, because it's always the same kind of things that happen. You have players who are very good, who are making a good season, and who give the impression to collapse under pressure. And I give you a concrete example. Donnarumma is making his best season so far with PSG. He was very good, very confident. And yesterday, he was awful. And he was exactly awful, like, for example, Buffon was awful on the second leg against Manchester United in 2019. Exactly in the same way, like Donnarumma was awful 2 years ago against Real. So suddenly, you have a team that you do not recognize and who make stupid mistakes. So there is this idea that there is a kind of curse, you know. Every time there is a huge Champions League game, this team in some ways gives the impression to fall apart.
Do you think, though, PSG do have the armor, the materials to go to Barcelona to get something, if they can unlock Kylian Mbappe, for instance?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely, they can do it. At 2-2, I would have said 100% sure. But it's going to be difficult, as you say, obviously, and I'm not making a big story here, but it will depend on the Mbappe form. There is something I've learned with Kylian Mbappe is that every time you say, okay, maybe he's not as good as we do think, or maybe he's not on the best time of his career, or maybe, you know, I like him, but in the end of the day, he's not scoring on great game. Every time you do things that, he shut your mouth. Sorry to say it, to say it like this. So he can make a huge game, but it will depend maybe on if he's put in the best position and if managed to get his confidence back, because yesterday, yeah, he didn't give the impression to be at his best, and which is not very good.
Yeah, Peter, I mean, look, as you said at the top, it's still all to play for. Second leg still to come. And no one knows Barcelona better than Luis Enrique, really, do they?
Yeah, yeah. And it was quite funny before the game where you had, you know, Luis Enrique answering a question about who embodies that DNA more. And he said, without a doubt, it's me. And it sort of set a trap for Xavi to walk into. And he did quite well, actually, Xavi. And I think this whole tie has done his profile a lot of good. I think Pierre summed it up nicely in terms of what this will mean in terms of Mbappe and what he can do. I think with Luis Enrique, we've seen throughout this season, it has been a very experimental season. You could see that with the way in which he's evolved the team. So he's, you know, at the start of the season, he tried four forwards and that infamously didn't work very well at St. James's Park against Newcastle. We've seen Mbappe play as a nine. We've seen him play from the left. And I just think to the round of 16 tie against Real Sociedad, where in the first leg, you had PSG for 45 minutes being outplayed. Real Sociedad playing on what was a clear sort of weakness in this early team, where if you press them high, particularly in their build-up, they will struggle and they will give you chances. They ship a lot of chances. And that's where, as Pierre was saying, Donnarumma has been so important because he's always that last line of defense, having to deal with a lot of shots. So even though they held a 2-0 lead, courtesy of Mbappe, pertinent timing again, considering that there was all the talk about him telling the club he's leaving, and then he puts in a performance like that where it's decisive. You had the second leg where you thought, how is this going to work? You know, you've got your best players leaving, there's all the noise, it's March, it's the round of 16, this is the typical banana skin for PSG, the prevailing winds of trouble. But then you had a tactical tweak again. You had Ousmane Dembele playing centrally, you had him as the sort of a false nine, a 10, and completely undid Real Sociedad, made it a very comfortable tie, the most complete away performance we've seen from them. So I think as much as, you know, I could say for the Barcelona game, there are elements of the way he set the team up that didn't really work. That was evident from a half-time change where Bradley Barcola comes on and you had Marco Asensio as ineffective. You had the difficulties at right back, then Mbappe shackled. He is that coach who can turn things around. And PSG know that because of Lionel Messi, of course, in 2017.
Yeah, Pierre, I mean, we just talked about Barcola. Warren Zaire-Emery, neither of those two players started. You know, we talk about, you know, Enrique kind of still playing with his team at this moment in time, but the philosophy this season is young, dynamic talent, and you've got two of the best in France right there sitting on the bench, and we saw the difference they made when they came on. In comparison, look, Barcelona started with some young players, and they stood up well. Was there a bit of a hesitance from Enrique to really push these young stars and put them in this position and, you know, try and put faith in them to get Paris Saint-Germain the result?
It's very hard to answer because actually it's very hard to understand the whole philosophy of Enrique. Sometimes he gives the impression to say, okay, let's play with the young. And suddenly he makes totally different decision. So I think you're totally right in the way that you say that symbolically it's terrible for Paris, what happened yesterday. You know, there is an expression, a Catalan expression that said cantera versus cartera, which means academy versus wallet. And it's a way to say that in Barcelona, we are very proud to have our economy against Real Madrid, who have the financial power. And they can use this expression for yesterday's game because, as you said, they have very, very young player like Cubarsí. I think he's 17, something like that. He was so good, so good. And obviously, Pedri, when he arrived, he made this wonderful assist. And as you say, Parisian didn't play at the start, at the beginning of the game. And Barcola, when he arrived, he was very good. But in the same way, Zaire Emery, he made a mistakes on the goal of Christensen. He was supposed to be on Christensen on this awful goal. So yeah, if he doesn't put Zaire Emery, it's because this last few weeks, he was not as good as he used to be. You know, he's very young, Zaire Emery. I think he's 17 and he's learning to drive. You know, he's passing his driving license. He's also still living with his parents. I mean, there is a lot of things to deal with that he has discovered the French national team as well. So there is a lot of change for this young player. And maybe it was a bit too much of for him to begin a Champions League game at this level of the competition. So in some way, I understand the decision of Luis Enrique on this.
You're listening to the Athletic FC podcast with Ayo Akinwalere.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Let's move on to the inevitable conversation, Peter. Mbappe. I mean, look, there's this incredible cloud hanging over the club at this moment in time, you know, and we've seen how Luis Enrique has dealt with him this season. Do you think he's been quite astute in what he wants to do with Mbappe this season, Peter?
I think it's been really interesting how he's dealt with Mbappe this season. I think when you frame the season as a whole, you've got the club wanting to go in a new direction. You know, we want to reset, new younger players, our complete overhaul of the squad last summer, building for the long term. You know, we talked about the Champions League and whether that's absolutely everything this year or for the long term. And then you've got Kylian Mbappe, who, of course, is going to leave in the summer. He's here for the short term. How does that marry up? And that's quite an interesting dynamic to manage, particularly as a head coach. I think Luis Enrique has handled him pretty well, all considered. I think back to the start of the season, of course, he walks into a scenario where Mbappe is not on the pre-season tour. He's put up for sale because he won't renew his contract. He then reintegrates him. Mbappe does what Mbappe does, top scorer by a considerable margin. It's a significant margin. He scored 24 goals in Ligue 1, and I think the next highest is Vitinha on 7. So in terms of goals, he's everything still.
I think then you look at some of the comments he made. So Mbappe scored a hat-trick in the way out. Brilliant hat-trick. The first goal was an unbelievable volley. And I think one of the first questions he was asked on Amazon Prime was, is Mbappe the best player in the world? And he says, I was not happy with Kylian today. And that doesn't happen. You know, that kind of criticism at that moment doesn't really happen. And it got a response from him. You look at the games that followed, it was a Monaco, fantastic. And then you look to the more recent scenario where we're talking about the Real Sociedad game, him telling his teammates he's going to leave. That's all everyone's talking about. Got this huge Champions League tie. And you saw the performance he put in Spain that night. So I think he's managed him quite well, but it's inevitably a shadow. It is the talking point. How is he going to end in Paris? What's the next step going to be? And it is a defining factor. And it'll be fascinating to see now, and I agree with you. Yeah, I feel like it's set for Mbappe to do something. Does he want to bow out against a team that he could end up facing as a fierce rival? It's a really interesting situation.
Yeah, Pierre, you're smiling there when he was talking about Enrique Mbappe battle. Do you think he's doing really well in establishing the fact that, look, yes, you're a superstar, but no player is bigger than this club. No player is bigger than the plans I have for this club.
Yeah, definitely. We have to understand that I think that when he arrived, Enrique must have been totally surprised, to say the least, of the situation. He discovered a club in which, as you said, a player is much more important than anything, which is totally crazy. For example, Luis Campos, which is the sporting director of PSG, has been chosen because he's close to Mbappé family. And some of the players that have been bought last summer, for some part, have been bought because Mbappé likes them, like Dembélé or Colomani. It's not the only reason, but it's one of the reasons. So you have a player there. In order to keep him, you have given him a lot of money and a lot of power. So I think that when Enrique came, he was like, it's not possible. We're not going to do it like this, but he cannot say anything because obviously in the same way, it's the most important player. So he took the opportunity of the fact that Mbappé announced he was about to leave to take the power in some ways and to say, no, like in every big club, the most important person is the manager. In Liverpool, obviously, Klopp is more powerful than Mohamed Salah. And actually, in all clubs, it's like that, in all big clubs. And what's interesting, if you look at the previous PSG manager, every time they didn't manage to really get the power. Before Enrique, you got a French guy called Galtier But Galtier was very close to Campos, and he gives the feeling that if there was no Campos, he was not there. So he didn't feel really legitimate. Before that, you got Pochettino. But Pochettino has a strategy to be very soft, very keen with a huge player, Neymar, Mbappé. And in the end of the day, he was not as strong as he should have been. Before that, you got Emery or Blanc, who sometimes was confronting with important players who were supported by President Nasser. Nasser El Khelaifi. No, he's not doing that anymore. El Khelaifi has taken a step aside and he's not involving anymore in the managing of the player. But if I tell you that, it's just to explain that these last few years in Paris Saint-Germain, you never had a manager who has the full power. And no, that's what he's trying to do. Enrique, to say, no, it is the time for a manager to get the power. So that's why he put on the bench Mbappé. Officially, he says that it's because I have to prepare next season because Mbappé won't be here next season, but it's totally a lie. Obviously, you don't have to prepare. No, the next season is not the priority at all. So it's a way to say to Mbappé, you're a very good player, but I'm the boss. You can understand that, but you have a price to pay for this politics, which is Mbappé is not happy with the situation and he doesn't give the impression to be very confident because he's not playing, for example, in the same position. Sometimes he's on the left, sometimes he's number nine. So you understand why Enrique has done that, but you have to pay the price for that.
Right. I mean, it's going to be hard to... Yeah, but also it's going to be really hard to not play Mbappé in the Champions League. I just look at the stats, you know, 40 goals in 61 Champions League games for PSG. Remember the hat-trick he scored at the Nou Camp a few years ago, the Bernabeu 2 seasons ago. Let's not even forget what he did at the World Cup final. You know, this boy can turn nothing into magic, and I think that's what makes him so special. I want to flip a little bit, Peter, to a player that Pierre just talked about briefly, Ousmane Dembélé. And I guess, if we're talking about a manager like Enrique, he's starting to get something out of him, not necessarily in goals as we might expect, but actually his overall play is really contributing to the style of football that Paris Saint-Germain are trying to play this season.
Yeah, absolutely. I think he's taken on a really important role for Luis Enrique this season. He is the player who's responsible for the pass before the pass, you know, the expression, you know, the guy who through which attacks are funneled on that right-hand side. And I think from a creative perspective, and I think from an output perspective, everyone looks at that with Dembélé. They go goals and assists, and he's got a good number of assists this season, 13 assists. But I think they look at people criticising him for his goals. That's always been the element, isn't it? But I don't think that's not the key factor with Dembélé. He scored last night against Barcelona. That's only his second goal of the season. But what we've seen is that when you look at the data, he leads on metrics such as progressive passes, progressive carries, progressive receptions as well, which just gives you an idea of the number of forward passes, number of forward movements that are going through him in this team. And I think the best example we've seen is lately how Luis Enrique has used him. Real Sociedad, the second leg, moving him into a central role, basically to get him on the ball more, to see more of the play. Against Marseille in the Classique, the same thing. And then last night, second half, the game's not going the right way. The change at halftime sees Bakula come on, play on the right-hand side, Dembélé move into that central role again. And he's very much an integral part of what Luis Enrique is trying to build. But he's not necessarily, you know, the guy who's replaced. He's not Mbappé's replacement at all. He is the guy creating for that. And it's interesting because the Dembélé story has been
brilliant talent, fantastic ability, unbelievable dribbler, dribbles of both feet. But then his end product is there and he's had fitness issues. You know, those injuries have really been completely defined his time at Barcelona. I think he did sort of address that towards the end. You know, that's where he got a personal trainer and he's become more mature. He speaks to people around him and they're talking about his little daughter now and he's a bit more settled. But I think coming to Paris has been quite an interesting step. It's obviously an unexpected transfer. But whereas when he went to Barcelona, he was this young kid in a dressing room with Luis Suarez, completely different dynamic. Here he's coming in as a France international, World Cup winner, senior player. He's only 26, but he's a senior player in what is a very young team. And I think that changes things. You know, he's around player of, you know, Juan Hernandez, Mbappe talked about, and that's giving him a different status. And so you have this combination of Dembele playing consistently, who's fit, and a key role. His minutes have been managed really well as well. You've seen that, you know, we talked about Mbappe being benched, but Dembele's had rotation as well. And that's getting a lot out of him, and a lot out of him for the team in a way that's not necessarily picked up by goals and assists, but through their general play. And I think that's been quite an interesting element that I think will continue once Mbappe goes. The question is, who is he providing for and who's going to score those goals?
Yeah, and Pierre, very quickly on Mbappe as well. And look, we know the departure's imminent. Maybe it might be Real Madrid. We still don't know yet. But I'm thinking about the brand of PSG. I'm thinking about the city of Paris. I'm thinking about France. He's become a national institution. I'm thinking about Ligue 1 as well as a brand. Without Kylian Mbappe, one of the biggest global stars, you know, in football. What does this mean for all those factors if he leaves France?
Yeah, if you want me to say that it's a global nightmare, I would say yes. And especially because, you know, we are dealing, French Ligue 1 is dealing its TV rights right now. And it's awful because they wanted to conclude before the announcements of Mbappé, hoping that maybe the TV could hope that he will stay, but now he's leaving. So the value of the rights are not good. It's very hard to negotiate in this situation. So, but in the end of the day, I think we all have understood he want to leave. He could have left a few years ago, and now his behavior, it's all about frustration sometimes, anger sometimes. So we have all understood that if he will stay in Paris, it will be counterproductive. I mean, it won't be positive for him. So we are disappointed as football fan, French football fan, but we do understand the situation. And just to conclude, it's quite normal. We are used to that because if you look about the greatest French player, from Raymond Coppa to Michel Platini to Zinedine Zidane to Thierry Henry, they all have to leave abroad at some moment to improve. So we have to accept that.
This is the Athletic FC podcast with Ayo Akinwalere.
Is this the end of the Galactico era then? The high-profile signings for PSG then, Pierre? Does he signal the last of the last of the great ones?
That's the hope. With if Luis Enrique managed to get the power and to keep the cup power he has got, we can hope that. I give you a shock example because I'll be quick, but Donnarumma. Why PSG has bought Donnarumma? He has bought because it's a great name. He has been elected best player of the European Championship 2021. It's glittering, if I can say that, but is it the goalkeeper you do need? Not at all. I mean, he's not good at all with his feet. You know, for the kind of football Luis Enrique wants, it's not at all the good goalkeeper. He's not able to play with his feet. The second goal of Barca yesterday was because he made a mistake when he tried to play with his feet. So it's typical example of you buy a player because you are PSG and you want a name and you don't buy the right player. So to answer your question, I hope it will be. And officially, that's the official speech to say that it's over and we have understood and we change our policy. So let's see it will be the case.
Yeah, well, this is the thing, Peter, you know, will PSG keep buying big name players if, you know, it isn't the case that they progress in the Champions League against Barcelona? I know we've sort of alluded to the fact that perhaps they might get a pass this year as it's such a club in transition, but might it affect their summer transfer plans, do you reckon?
Well, that's the interesting thing, isn't it? Does the talk of the long term, this younger team, does that go out the window if the big name becomes available and you can pick him up and they need some other profile? We'll have to see. I think, obviously, when Mbappe, you know, confirmed that he was leaving to his teammates into the club, you know, the response was, you know, we'll have to replace the goals, and they do need to replace the goals. We've talked about that. But then you had, you know, we've reported that Victor Osimhen was a target, and you think, well, yeah, for goals, sure, get that. But they also spent 170 million on two centre forwards last summer, Gonzalo Ramos and Randal Kolo Muani. It is that balance, and it comes back to how sustainable the long-term narrative is and the substance to it. It's a test of it. What are they going to do? You know, when you actually look at the team, it's very young. There's a lot of talent. And particularly if you were to say Mbappe's best position is on the left, the players they will have available next season on the left are Bradley Barcola, 21 years old, has really impressed. You know, had a difficult game against Newcastle in Champions League, got pilloried for it, but Luis Enrique stuck by him and has been excellent. And you've got Xavi Simons coming back from RB Leipzig, one of the most promising wingers in Europe. So in terms of his position, there are players there, there's talent there. Just depends what and how they want to do it. As Pierre was outlining, there are other areas to this squad that need to be evolved. You've still got square pegs in round holes. Donnarumma is one. I don't think they've really replaced what Verratti would bring to this team. I feel like Verratti would be a player that would really suit what Luis Enrique wants to do. We've seen Vitinha be fantastic, really step on, take his game to another level, exactly what Luis Enrique wants in terms of possession. But as a six, he doesn't have that bite. We've seen Manu Ugarte come in last summer. But technically, is he enough? Does he have the ability? Will he improve to be a regular stick, a number six that Luis Enrique would want? So these are more areas that I think that probably need more of a focus than necessarily just Mbappe. They need goals, of course, but it's how they do their squad building. And they have built, with the big changes they made last summer, there is a young core there. What do they do with that? Do they stick with it? Do they twist? And I think this summer will be really, really, really interesting about whether they do that or not. And also indicative of how much, say, Luis Enrique has and can maintain his position of power.
Yeah, Pierre, on that, you know, it feels like PSG is in a place of transition. And I think about, do we maybe judge Enrique next season? This season, the minimum requirement you'd think is Ligue 1. Looks like it's going to be PSG's, right? So we've got that out of the way. Next season, maybe no more egos on the team. You know, he's overseen Messi go, you know, Neymar go, Mbappe now leaving. Maybe we can now start to see the maestro do his work.
Definitely. And that's how usually the great club used to work, you know. You give the key to a manager you do trust, and he takes the right decision. That's how it worked in Manchester City, Liverpool. And so let's hope it will work like that. But in the complicated history of PSG, it's always a different moment. And I hope they will stick to this. I hope. But I won't be surprised that suddenly, I don't know, they try to buy Harry Kane. Or I don't know. No, it's not a good name. But let's say Phil Foden or something. I think there is always a part of the mind of Nasser El Khelaifi who say, okay, we are PSG. We have to do something big on the market. So to answer your question, I hope so. But I have a small fear that they can, you know, make a big crazy decision this summer. Nevertheless,
is it better though for PSG that they now have a good manager? I mean, that, you know, you look at Liverpool next season, no manager. You know, they're starting from afresh. There are certain other teams across Europe, Bayern Munich again, starting from afresh. Maybe PSG have 1 year ahead and actually they can start building on something as opposed to starting something.
Maybe I'm too pessimistic, but actually, for example, Liverpool, we don't know exactly who is going to be the next manager, but the structure of the club is very strong, you know. And can I say that the sporting structure of PSG is strong? I'm not sure, because actually we are not sure that Campos, the sporting director, is going to stay. So there is always this question of who is the real boss? What kind of football do we want to play? Is Enrique going to take the decision? If there is a new sporting director, he wanted to put his mark on the summer market. Will he get on well with Enrique? There is always this kind of instability potential. So I'm not so confident about it.
Okay. I just want to finish on this, and please, both of you, Peter, you start, and please, Pierre, follow on. In terms of how the PSG fans are connecting with this current team of young stars, we look at the discontent with Neymar, you know, the ultras are outside his house telling him, you know, how they felt. We look at what happened with Messi, you know, they were very vocal on that current regime of player or style of player. Is there a better connection now, Peter, from your perspective, with the fans, with this current team of, I guess no one really knows where they're going to go, but at least they represent something a little Parisian?
Yeah, I mean, you've summed it up well. I mean, the contrast to last year is pretty extreme, right? You know, when PSG were picking up the winners' medals, you had Neymar and Messi, players being booed while they were collecting the Ligue 1 winners' medals. And it's like, that's not a good situation to be in. You had Galtier, who was incredibly unpopular at the end. This year, I mean, at the weekend, you had the ultras holding up a banner praising El Khelaifi, Campos and Luis Enrique. That doesn't happen necessarily. I think there's always going to be that pessimism. I think Pierre's outlined that quite well. The uncertainty about what might happen. But in terms of buy-in, I think there is more because they have Warren Zaire. There are young players they can get behind, even at full time. Just the little things like last night, going over to the fans, supporting the fans. There has been an element of rebuilding that relationship, and I think that's been helpful because when you're trying to make such a big change in terms of personnel and structure, and you need your fans to come with you, and so far that has seemingly been the case. Now, what happens post Mbappe? Let's see.
Yeah, Pierre, you're the man on the streets of Paris for us. Are they connecting with these with this team? You know, Zaire Emery, classic, you know, Parisian boy, and he's a good player. French national team now, you know, it's fantastic.
Yeah, I think you sum up very well. I think the potential of Zaire Emery is very huge. I mean, on the pitch and also on a symbolic way, you know, it could be the Phil Foden, what is for City, the Rashford for United, you know, the guy, Trent Alexander-Arnold for Liverpool, you know, the home ground player who you are proud of, in which you trust. I mean, in a supporter point of view. So I think, yeah, it will depend a lot of him. He's supposed to be the next star, actually, of the club. He's so good, so gifted, so talented. So it will depend a lot of him, more than, for example, Barcola, because Barcola, you know, he comes from Lyon. There is a lot of players who didn't really grow up with PSG. So, yeah. But in the end of the day, you also know that in the history of PSG, there have been temptation in the past to play only with a Parisian player. It was the case in 2000 with, for example, they took Nicolas Anelka from Madrid, and they say, okay, let's play with young Parisian players that were a good symbol of this the capital city in France, and it didn't work at all at the time. So I hope the same mistake won't be repeated.
It's so funny. It feels like the story of PSG's optimism and pessimism balancing each other out continuously.
It's the DNA of the club.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, I tell you what, thank you so much for your time, both of you. Peter, I know you've got a rush and jump on a plane, and Pierre as well. Thanks for joining us from Paris as well. Don't forget to rate and review the podcast. Thank you so much for listening. Don't forget, Adam and the team will be back tomorrow for the weekend preview. Speak soon.
You've been listening to the Athletic FC podcast. The producers were Guy Clark, Mike Stavrou and Jay Beale. The executive producer was Amy Moorhead. To listen to other great Athletic podcasts for free, search for The Athletic on Apple, Spotify and all the usual places. The Athletic FC podcast is an Athletic Media Company production.
The Athletic.